Shank Bagley. Shank Bagley. Shank Bagley. Hello and welcome to Shatbaggerly, an old Lincolnshire adjective to describe absolutely anything loose and disorderly, which sums up this Lincolnshire lass quite nicely, as I do tend to go off on a tangent every so often. In a moment, we'll cross over the pond to meet the actress, singer, dancer and baker behind the hugely successful Mr. Bentley's World, discover a whole new way of making scones from a young chef who came up with the idea during lockdown, and it's a welcome back to one of the most popular guests we've had in Series 2, former Bake Off contestant who does let slip who left this week, so spoiler alert. First though, with it being episode 20, here are a few other things with the same number. Pages, the Pentagon's Department of Food, takes to describe hot chocolate. Wimbledon titles won by Billie Jean King, and can you believe the most piercings in the tongue?
Ooh.
Francesca Vacca from the States achieved the Guinness World Record in Lyndhurst, New Jersey in January 2017. I've gone all a bit cold. Frank previously held the record with 16 piercings before deciding on two more and then another two. Oh, I think it's bad enough. We have an ulcer on your tongue. I'm forever fiddling, aren't you? You'd be able to play pinball on Frank's. Anyway, hope all's good where you are. Was very happy the other day as Glyn was trying out his phone to measure distances for work and such. Saw him fiddling. So I said, oh, see how tall I am, please, Glyn, in the hope that I was still at least 5'1¾". It came back as 168 centimetres, 5'6". Time to meet our first guest, actress, singer and dancer Kim Goldfeder-Clark. Kim has a huge social media following as a home baker, as your mum's in the kitchen, and an even bigger fan base with her Mr. Bentley's World. Kim was one of the first ever people to get in touch with Howard and I when Shatbaggerly first launched over 2 years ago, and still keeps in touch to this day, but we had yet to meet, until a Zoom call on Wednesday from Ludlow all the way to New York to join her from the very living room she does her daily musings.
It's insane. Honestly, if you really think about it, you'd have to be off your chump to do what I do. But it never started out that way. Mr. Bentley's World purely started out because I was bored back in, I think it was 2012. I do auto shows around the country. And for a while, every summer, I would go away and work. And then that work dried up. And I said, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with my summer? And a friend of mine said, well, Kim, why don't you have a Facebook page for your bulldog? And I swear to you, I said to her, oh, I'm not going to be one of those freaks that does that. Cut to, you know, 11 years later. So it just started out. You never were going to see me. I did this ridiculous character voice for Mr. Bentley. And it sounded like this old Jewish grandma, you know, I'm Jewish, but it sounded like this decrepit old lady. And people were very surprised because eventually when I would either be seen in the background, they'd go, oh, I didn't expect that voice, you know, to come out of you. And then it became he and I would put him in these crazy costumes. And then COVID hit. And then it became completely different because one day I was, again, nobody went anywhere. We were just at home. And it turned into people from around the world would just tune in to watch me feed Bentley because we home cooked for him. Okay. And then, so in addition to his regular meal, he would have a hard-boiled egg every day. So instead of me prattling on, there would be just quiet time of people watching him eat this egg, which was bizarre. One of my best girlfriends, Annette, who at the time, I think she lived in Connecticut, she said, Kim, you know the world's in trouble when all around the world we're just tuning in to watch a dog eat an egg. But then it turned into just me having coffee and talking about the daily insanity that we all were going through. Mm-hmm. And the viewership exploded. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I guess it was providing a service. People were lonely out there, mm-hmm. and scared. And of course, you know, we all were in the same boat you know, no matter where, whether you were tuning in from England or, you know, South Africa, and people would say hi from, you know, Djibouti and hi from Buenos Aires, all around the world. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And it really was something. So, yes, I ended up, it's a very long story, Katie, but Mr. Bentley then passed away right after COVID. And I felt terrible, not only because he was my son that I adored, but I felt terrible for other people who I let, like you say, let them into my home, which is bizarre. And I knew we were helping people, make them feel less lonely, less afraid. And I couldn't do it anymore because Bentley passed. Mm-hmm. And I think there was probably about a week, maybe. I obviously couldn't, you couldn't even talk to me. I was so bereft and, you know, crying all the time. And then I came back on, and not only did it help others and help, it helped myself because I just, I'm just really, you know, what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
No makeup. I would say like 95% of the time that I do these things, I look like, you know, death eating a tamale. I look like ass. And I kind of don't care, which is weird. And yet, people really care. They care about myself, my husband, my mom, who they called the grandmama.
Yeah, yeah.
And I realized that it was, it became bigger than just a bulldog in a costume making people laugh. Mm. And it really, again, to this day, it provides, I think, a, and I don't mean to be like, I hope it doesn't come across that I'm like patting myself on the back. It's very humbling to think we make a difference in life. Like your podcast, hugely beneficial. Because yes, it starts out talking about, you know, cookery books and a huge laugh between first you and Howard and then you and all these guests that are so fascinating. But it's what I hope this will turn out to be, this episode, or at least this segment, and Mr. Bentley's World. You don't realize how you touch people's lives and a difference you make. Mm. But, and I see you're smiling, which is beautiful. Well, because you do, Katie. You really do.
It's interesting, though, because you and I are a similar age. I think you're maybe a little bit younger than I am. And you and I both know when we were growing up, we had nothing like this, did we?
No.
We went to libraries. We went to read books. There was no contact with the outside world other than you went on holiday and you had a postcard. And that was it.
Yep.
So you didn't have that connection. But now it's instant and it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. Oh, I'm telling you, one time I do a lot of, you know, or at least I did for a while, animal rescue, you know, volunteer work. And I do whenever I can. And, you know, I like to bake. So I was volunteering my services. It was this big fair and I had a table. I got my mom involved, my neighbors, like all these people helping. And I just baked. And I said, okay, everybody, whatever we make, it goes right to the animal rescue. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm volunteering my services. And we were done for the day. We were packing up. And it was this beautiful big field. Everybody's table was sort of around the perimeter. And my husband was there. And he just gets a kick out of me because he's so quiet. And he doesn't do half the shenanigans that I get myself into. And I'm packing up. And all of a sudden, I hear, Damama! Damama! And I'm like, oh. And I look, and there's this woman, and she's frantically waving, running at us from across this field. And of course, I don't know this person. And I'm looking like, oh my God, what the hell? And she was a fan. And, but that's to your point, like, they know what I look like, or at least, you know, what I look like during the videos. And I didn't know her at all. And she was, I mean, she could have been a kookadoo, but she ended up being a lovely individual. She's like, I need a piece of cake. And I just laughed because I said, have the whole thing. We're packing up. But it is a strange thing because you get recognized. You never know where you're going to meet people.
No, no. You touched on your baking. And yeah, you do. Now, I had to write this down because I've seen the latest bake that you've done. And it's... It's the only murders in the building. What's
That's
that then?
It.
Created a cake in homage. I mean, it looks amazing, but here in the UK, I don't think we've seen this. What is it, Kim?
Oh, my goodness. All right. So do y'all not get Hulu, the streaming service Hulu?
No.
Oh, bless. Okay, so Only Murders in the Building is, it's now just finished its third season. It stars Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez. And it's basically, it's a podcast. And it started out where all three are strangers in this building called the Arconia, which is a true building in Manhattan called the Bell Nord, I think it's called. Yeah. Beautiful building. And these three strangers are, in their own right, true crime fans. Mm-hmm. And one thing leads to another, and they meet, and then they solve a crime. And then now I say it's in their third season, just finished. But this season was even better because it, one of the characters, Martin Short's character, is a director. And they do a musical. They start out doing a play called Death Rattle. And the lead man, played by Paul Rudd, gets murdered. And then through a series of events, it gets turned into a musical called Death Rattle Dazzle, which is ridiculous and hilarious. Meryl Streep is also on it this season.
Right.
Brilliant. Yeah. And it's, you know, it combines all of my loves because obviously they're, the three of them are brilliant together, but theater and musicals. And so, as you say, I made a cake in homage to, for no reason other than I said, I think I want to do this. It's still sitting in my refrigerator. I have yet to cut into it. It's ridiculous.
Amazing.
That I didn't cut
it. It's amazing. Now, the
thank you.
We obviously have the Great British Bake Off, which is now on our screens. I guess you get it, what, a few days later or a week later?
Yeah. So I think it airs on a Tuesday by you. And we get it, I think, on Friday on Netflix.
Right.
Which is like Hulu. Yeah.
But you have your own version of baking show. Is it the Great American Baking Show? Now, you applied for that, didn't you?
I did. I applied for it a couple times. The first time I applied right before COVID, you know, hit the world. And I made it to the, there's a round where they taste your bakes. Mm-hmm. And because I was not going to be in town when they were going to be in New York, I offered to fly myself to LA, which is where they were going to pull. They have several. And then they said, great, we had it all lined up. And then COVID hit. And so that ended that. And then last year I applied again and I didn't hear it all. And I said, not even a callback. What? All right. Well, whatever. So I'm just each time, like you, I always believe everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. Firm believer. So I'm like, all right, so I'm going to like use the time to hone my skills. So a lot of times, like on my Instagram baking page, Moms in the Kitchen, you'll see a lot of breads now. So I'm really into upping my game for breads.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but yeah, the American, the Great American version, which is kind of the same thing as the British. Yeah.
So you do know the likes of Nancy, who won one of our series, she didn't get in, did she? And I think maybe second attempt. There was another, Frances didn't get in, and she ended up winning. Yeah, yeah, Frances Quinn. So she was on the reserve list 1 year, so she didn't get in. So does this mean you will try again, or have you had it now?
Oh, no, I definitely will try again. Because I will say that I'm not one of these that are like, oh, kick the can and that's the end of it. I always try to think of the positive. So, you know, I didn't get on and I can use this time to get better. And I think, okay, maybe the reason I didn't get on was because I would have been booted the first week had they picked me. So maybe if I ever do get on Knock the Wood, maybe I'll go further.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, you're an actress, a singer and a dancer. And one of your skills, and I have to pick up on it because it says you can do a British accent.
Oh, no.
Now, interestingly enough, it says British accent and then comma Cockney. Because let's be honest, Americans, for some strange reason, all think that we Brits talk like that, equal blimey, Mary Poppins. I don't know why. But you can do a British accent, so come on, hit me with it, Kim.
Oh, dear Lord. You know what's so funny, Kitty? I had a feeling you were going to ask me. My husband was laughing at me last night because I was saying, oh, you know, Katie and I don't know if we're going to talk about recipes or what. And so he goes, well, what if she asks you to do a British accent? I said, oh, she's not going to ask me. All right, so let me think. I've done a couple shows where it called for it. So I did like Me and My Girl, although that was Cockney. And I did No Sex Please, We're British, where it was strictly a British accent. So all right, let me try. I apologize. Here's your blanket statement. I apologize to all of your British listeners.
This is revenge, Kim. This is revenge for all us Brits with America.
All right. So I'm sorry. Do you happen to know what time it is? I'm a little lost. I'm looking for this market that's quite lovely, but I can't remember the name of it. They have wonderful scones. You might say scones, but I always say scones because my grandmama, when she made this wonderful recipe when I was a child, well, it just stuck in my memory. And I must say, I have to find this market. I have no idea if that was good.
That's not bad. And you are with me because I'm a scone. So thank you very much indeed. I'm a scone. That wasn't bad at all. Yeah, well done. That wasn't the easiest.
All right, Katie. So now equal time. You do a New York accent.
New York is not American, is it? It's got the most amazing New York. I'd love it. I'd love it. So that's all I can do. I can do an American accent if I was asked to, I think. But I don't know which part of America that's from. But it's not New York. It's not New York.
All right. Well, so do an American and then I'll tell you how to switch it to New York.
All right then. Okay. Oh my God, this is amazing. It's awful. So I'd just like to say it's an absolute pleasure to be chatting with you, Kim, on this podcast.
I don't know what part of the country. All right. So just say the sentence, I want a coffee. But instead of saying like that, the sound that you're going to place it in your nose. So you like really forward. So you go, I want a coffee.
I want a coffee.
Awesome. I want a coffee.
I want a coffee. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'll leave the acting, the singing, the dancing to you, Kim. Let's talk about recipes, though, because that's how you ended up tuning into Shat Bagley, wasn't it? Couple of years ago now, we've been going with the old recipes.
Yeah.
What is it about? Was it because you mentioned mum and you're still in the kitchen with mum? But I guess we go back to grandma, great grandma, do we, with cooking? How far back?
Yeah. So my grandmother, which was my mom's mom, lived with us. So it was my grandparents, my parents, my brother and I. And I would always just watch my mom and my grandma, her name was Florence, cook. Yeah. And my grandfather would call her Flaw. Flaw. And it's so funny about New York accent. They'd be in the supermarket and he'd take like, they'd have like a candy display and he would take a little candy and across the supermarket, he'd go, Flaw, you want a Carmel? And I remember that. So my grandmother Florence and I, we were very close. So I would, as a little girl, just watch the two of them, my mom and my grandmother, bake and always offer to help. They never let me. And they're like, Kimmy, it's fine. They call me Kimmy. Kimmy, it's fine. Don't worry about it. And then to placate me, my mom would give me like this piece of dough. Oh, go ahead. So we would make rugala, which is a Austrian-Hungarian pastry dough. You can make it with a bunch of fillings. We always made it traditional cinnamon, walnuts, and raisins. Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
And then I would make like one big mess of one and she'd put it in the corner of the cookie sheet, you know. And then eventually they thought, oh, she could help. That's another set of hands.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I learned several recipes really just from her and my mom. And then it's funny, I lived in Manhattan about 15 years. And even when I was trotting the boards, auditioning, when I was in the city, I would always find myself at a place called Barnes & Noble, which was a bookstore. They might still be in existence, very limited. And I would just sit there and write recipes because they would let you like get a cup of coffee. You didn't have to buy a thing. And of course I had no money. Yeah, it was great. And so I would sit there and just handwrite all these recipes and have a cup of coffee so they didn't, you know, bother me. And then go home and like practice. And to this day, I still have like books and books in my handwriting in addition to my grandmother's and my mom's handwriting of old recipes.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, it's great. Like my rugula recipe is my great-great-aunt Fanny's, which was on my grandmother's side. I never met her. She was this rather very rotund lady who made these pastries, like one of these kind of really paper thin strudel kind of dough, and like would flip it and like it would roll, this kind of a thing. I think it was only maybe the last 10 or so years, maybe a little longer, that then I really began baking even more. Mm. And to me, like I make a new friend. I go, what's your favorite dessert? And then they'll tell me what it is. And then I'll make it for them for their birthday and I love elaborate, you know, like my husband, God love him, but you know, he'll say, oh, make me chocolate chip cookie or chocolate cake. And I'm like, well, you know, where's the fun? And give me something lofty. So I would, you know, actively seek out recipes that were really elaborate. Mm. Yeah.
I have to say, because you do put pictures on Facebook and Instagram, Kim, both you and your lovely hubby are really slim. So where's this cake going?
Well, I thank you for that. I do give most of it away. Like I'll taste it and then give it to the neighbors or friends or, you know, whomever I could give it to. Because let's face it, you can't eat all that. Honestly, you just can't. And when I do my auto shows around the country, I'll bake and I'll bring it on the plane and, you know, give it to friends and all. But I have to say, as much as I love to bake and eat, I do like to work out. So thank God for that. And I also have on my dad's side, and I'm knocking the wood to that, his metabolism. I'm little and I could pack it away as far as eating it, but I do like to always be active. So thank God for that.
Because you do realize, and let's be positive, when you get onto that baking show, you're going to have to practice, practice, practice. You are going to be the most popular woman, aren't you? In not just your neighborhood, far and far and wide, because that's what they do, Kim.
Well, that's a thing. Yeah. I mean, I would imagine that, you know, you plan for, what is it, 10 weeks or 11 weeks of bakes, whether you leave prior to that, who knows? But yes, a lot of practicing. Mm. So that's a lot of, you know, what are you going to do with it?
Oh, if only we lived nearer. So lovely to chat with Kim, and apologies for my dreadful attempt at an American accent. At least it didn't end up as a Wolverhampton one, which when I try to do them, they nearly always do.
Wolverhampton, all right.
You can follow Kim on both Your Mom's in the Kitchen and Mr. Bentley's World, and must say hi to Ollie, her gorgeous little bulldog, a real sweetie. Interesting that Kim mentioned scones, because a couple of weeks ago we met a fabulous young chef at Mould Food Festival in Wales. Callum Smith, his name. Callum is a sous chef at a rather nice private school in Shrewsbury in Shropshire. It was his first ever cookery demonstration, and in fact ended up doing a couple. One in particular had the audience intrigued, as he shared with them his original recipe for scones, created during COVID, using ingredients you ordinarily wouldn't associate scones with.
My girlfriend said to me one day, Cal, I want scones. And in this instant, I said, yeah, no worries. Opened the fridge and there wasn't a lot in there, being lockdown, supermarkets and everything were closed. And then out I pulled some 17 pence lemonade from Aldi, some double cream, which was probably on the cusp of probably need to go in the bin, and some self-raisin flour. And lo and behold, a few mixes later, we had scones that we now go on at the school to make 3,500 a day.
So you said you did an experiment, did a few attempts. So was it too wet, too dry? How did you work it out?
So originally I was just free pouring flour, lemonade and cream in. And I eventually worked out that it needed to be 100 grams less of liquid to dry ingredients. And that to the recipe today is what we use. It's always 100 grams less of wet to dry, and it forms the most beautiful dough that can't be overworked. It really is. It warms your heart a little bit when you see it, because you can't overmix it. It doesn't become too short. It's honestly fantastic.
And I said to you, you never paid to do this or anything or protected it, did you?
No, I'm through. At the end of the day, things like this need to be shared to everybody, because if it saves me a lot of money, it saves the private school I work at a lot of money, because we're not spending massive amounts of money on butter and stuff, and these recipes that are easy, you can't really go wrong with it at all. It's a good one to share with people.
And you can add the cheese, you can add the fruit, you can add whatever you want to do it. Could you talk us through then the ingredients, please, then for us?
Yeah, of course. So so the normal dough recipe is 800 grams of self-raisin flour. Doesn't have to be sieved, anything like that. 350 grams of lemonade. It can be diet lemonade, it can be premium lemonade, it can be 17p lemonade, as long as it's lemonade and it's got bubbles in it, you're fine. And 350 grams of double cream. It has to be double cream, it can't be whipping cream, it can't be sour cream. It's got to be double cream. There's no way of mixing it or order of mixing it. It all goes in the bowl, it all gets mixed together. As you mix it, it'll start off really wet and end up becoming this lovely dough. And then you can divide it, you can add cheese into some of the mix with mustard to make cheese scones. You can add some dried fruit into it to make fruit ones. So no, they're really, really nice, and they don't take long to bake at all. So rule of thumb really is 170 degrees in the oven, roughly about 12 minutes. Yeah, they come out lovely. Just give them a little bit of a rest on a wire rack, and yeah, they are super tasty.
And you and your girlfriend are still together, so they must have been nice.
I was all right that night. It was the next day when she wanted something else making. I can't remember what it was. I couldn't make that out of whatever I had in the fridge. But no, all good. It's a fantastic recipe, and I'm glad I can share it with people.
Such a lovely lad and a cracking chef. Callum Smith. He's the captain for the Welsh Junior Culinary Team, and next year he'll be representing Wales alongside another young chef, Sean Hughes, in the European Global Chefs Finals in Singapore. Callum has kindly offered to share his scone recipe, or scone recipe. I know if you're listening in the States, or indeed anywhere else in the world, it's just one of those one of those things. Another word I can't say. It just depends where you were brought up and how you say it. So there we are. But with regards to the scone recipe, I'll put it on Shat Bagley's Instagram and Facebook pages as soon as. Thank you as always for getting in touch over the past couple of weeks. Always lovely to hear from you. And I do read every single message. I know a few of those messages have been about old recipe books, as I know I've been a little remiss. So when I found one from 1907 the other day, I knew I had to share it. It's the Polytechnic Cookery Book by M.M. Mitchell, MCA, with the most wonderful of prefaces, or prefaces, as I used to get told off. As the well-being and success in life depends very largely upon the digestion and proper nourishing of the body, it is an all-important requirement that a clear understanding of the selection and preparation of food be acquired by those in a household on whom these important duties devolve. The art of cooking is to prepare the food so as to obtain the highest nutritive value and to present it in the most attractive manner. And it goes on about the contents of this book, while it be found useful to pupils in class, especially addressed to the artisan and middle-class housewives, to whom it is most necessary that they should obtain the highest value with the least outlay and the avoidance of all waste. I also loved it because there's a name written inside, and it goes back from 1907. So it's a Lucy Root, it looks as if, and so it must have been hers. From a Lucy to a Val. And yes, Val Stones from Bake Off 2016. And I have to tell you, there is a spoiler regards the current series of The Great British Bake Off during our chat. So if you don't want to know who left the tent this week, you're best not listening. Val first joined us at the beginning of this new season of Shat Bagley, about 5 months ago now, can you believe, when she shared what she was up to, including stories of her granddaughter Flo. Well, bless her, since then, Val has lost her brother and close friends have been diagnosed with cancer. And if you thought it couldn't get any worse, it was returning home after visiting one of those pals that she noticed husband Ian didn't look at all well and drove him straight to hospital.
And sure enough, he'd had a heart attack, so they kept him in. He'd been back twice to Musgrove in Taunton. When he got there, they said, "You've got a tummy bug," because you know how they do the test. "We can't do it." So they sent him back. The ambulance crashed.
What, with him in it?
Ambulance crashed. Yeah, with him in it. I said, "Well, at least you're in a safe place." Nobody was hurt. The driver ran into a car in front. Mm. So anyway, got him back to hospital, went back again. Can't do anything for him at the moment because they haven't got the expertise or the equipment. So I brought him home on Saturday. Saturday just gone. And, you know, like, you've got to be really quiet, can't lift anything. I'm going to look after you until we get the call from the hospital to go back again.
Yeah.
And I thought, gosh, you know, life has ups and downs. This is our downtime, I think.
Yeah.
But hey-ho, you know, we're just getting on with it one day at a time.
It does that, doesn't it? It comes in, you suddenly think, is there anything else that can go wrong, can happen? And as you say, you're just in one of those low ones. I'm so sorry, Val, flipping it.
Yeah. It's one of those things, and we'll get through it. But Florence is a joy. And she's just at that four-year-old stage where she's got humour, thoughtful, she's getting empathetic. But that's because we put a lot of effort into her, and her mummy does as well.
Yeah. And how's Ian this morning then? Because obviously you and I are chatting and he's downstairs. How is he doing?
Well, he's doing okay. I've got to drive him everywhere because he's not allowed to drive. Mm. So I'm not doing much baking. I'm not doing much of anything really.
Oh, my Lord. I'm
looking after the family.
Yeah, because you bake every day normally. So when was the last time you baked?
Yeah. What did I do? Oh, I baked date apple and walnut cake. Mm. And I baked some madeleines because Flo likes chocolate. So I did some chocolate-coated madeleines for her.
Yeah.
She was at preschool. So if I drop her off at preschool, I've got about 4 hours, which I can do things and what have you, catch up with housework. And do the ironing. And
do you know, Val, I'd leave it. It's still going to be there, isn't it? And to be honest, it's on trend now. We worked away in Suffolk for 4 days and a couple of the team went with us and it was our wedding anniversary, so we went out in the evenings. But we'd only managed to finish at the show, quickly go back to where we were staying to get some clothes on and go again. And I hadn't ironed my linen trousers or my linen blouse. And I thought, oh, no. And apparently, according to the youngest member of our team in green, it's on trend. Yeah. So, Val, forget the ironing, darling. It's on trend.
Ian likes his shirts ironed, though. I caught up with Bake Up last night on Catch Up TV because I didn't watch it on Tuesday.
I haven't seen it, Val. Is it any good? Is it worth watching?
I think they're professionally coached.
Mm.
It's got more, what's the word? It's so highly professional now. The filming is even more clever because I know what the filming is like. And I'm thinking, these are set pieces. Oh. I know they are. They've set these up, you know. Mm. But it's very good TV. It's very good TV. They're very skilled people. But every year, I think people have practiced. I never practiced. I just applied on a whim, got on, hit the ground running. And so every week was a mystery. I just got on with it. But these people have practiced almost everything. You know, whereas we were doing flavours, these folk, I reckon, are being told by the food economist when they sent the recipes in, we want more of this in and more of that. I am sure of it.
Mm, because
the use of ingredients and techniques and what have you are far way and above even last year's Bake Off.
Anybody standing out for you?
Abby, Dan, Rowan, he's the Yorkshire one, could be. But I think he'll be out about 8, something like that, if he's going to be out. Kirsty, she's got the looks, but she's not really got the talent. The Scottish lady, although she's very good, I think they'll keep her in as long as they can because she's got the lovely Scottish lilt. I'm doing it from the professional stance, not the baking stance, but I think her baking will let her down. Bless her heart, she's like me. She's an older person. She, you know, she's probably out of her comfort zone, but she's doing her best.
Yeah.
Keith, he went out. He went out on Tuesday, but I think he must have joined on a whim because he's a good baker, but he hasn't got the stamina or the wherewithal to do what the others do. You could see him looking round, thinking, "What am I doing here?" Yes, it's art. but, you know, I would look round and think, my Gideon, I can't do what they're doing. But it's all to do with your research, your avid watching of the programme before, and then going one step further, trying everything. It must cost them a fortune.
Mm.
We got £35 an episode. And I mean, I couldn't afford all the ingredients. I must have spent £2,000.
Oh, my Lord.
On ingredients, baking tins and what have you. I know Candy spent over £4,000. So it's incredible.
There's a lady from about 40 minutes from where we are on it. Is it? I say I haven't watched it. It's awful, isn't it? I keep meaning to. Is it Saku? The lady from... She's Sri Lankan. Saku,
yes. She's a perfect person to go forward. She tries really hard. But again, I think she may go quite late on. I know Paul and Prue, and I know what they do. They'll keep the ones that people love as long as they can, which is why they wanted me to take my bakes out of the oven and present them, because I think they'd like me to go a bit further. Hmm. But you don't see that on camera. You know, Val, why didn't you get them out? No, I'm not. I've got a soggy bottom. They're not cooked. Wouldn't get them out. So I think she's going to be one of those people. She'll go a long way, and they'll try and keep her in as long as possible.
Oh, okay.
And rightly so, a girl baker. Yeah. They had to do an illusion display with biscuits, and she did excellently well. Oh, you know, the flavours were brilliant.
Yeah.
Because she brought in the Sri Lankan flavours that were absolutely delicious. Mm. I'd have loved to have tried them.
Yeah. I was going to say, though, you said about not baking every day. Something I saw you were doing this morning, you're going back and dabbling ceramics again. I saw that. Looked rather lovely.
You can't see in here, but I've got some of my own pictures from years ago. I used to drop the children off at school and then go off on my bike and go and paint, take my watercolours with them.
Lovely.
You know, and that's like 40 years ago, because the kids are 47 and 48. You know, and I thought, where did that time go? Mm. You love painting. And I sit and do painting with flow, and I've got my charcoals, I love the oil pastels and things like that. So Flo and I are having a go, and with the ceramics, I took all three grandchildren and we did some, and I did that one.
Mm.
And we try and go back once a month and do something, which is lovely. Like, I get lost in baking, I get lost in artwork as well. It's important. I've needed it this fortnight to get back to doing things that I can get lost in without worrying about what's happening, you know, out and about in the house. And
I was going to say, the last so many months you've had to go through, you need something like that. As you say, when you do artwork, be it baking or ceramics, anything creative, you just don't think about anything else, do you? It's so therapeutic, oh, Val.
Yeah, you're living in the moment. You know, you're in the moment, and you're so busy looking where the next brush stroke is going to be, or the next pencil mark is going to be, that's it. Your brain is completely in that zone. It can't think of anything else.
Mm.
So it's worth doing. But it's a year since I had my hip done as well. Yes, you do recover, and you do get better. But I can't do a high kick like Angela Rippon anymore. If I ever could.
Have you been watching it? I couldn't believe it. Well, because you do, don't you? I bet everybody who watched that did try to see how high or not so high they could go. I mean, I've never been flexible. I might be able to do Tuesdays and Wednesdays every week, but I've not been that flexible with my body at all. But blame my neck. She's 78, Val.
Yes, she is. But interesting, Ian was watching. He said, they don't do many close-ups on her face. She looks a bit haggard.
He's feeling better then. Angela Rippon is a journalist and television presenter who's doing a fantastic job in the current series of Strictly Come Dancing. And her leg kick that Val mentioned was on the first programme, and it saw her effectively doing the splits while standing up. Wow. Thank you to Val for joining us, especially with everything going on, and wishing hubby well, and sending thoughts and prayers to all those with cancer. They say one in two of us now will be diagnosed with some form of it, which is scary and totally in the wrong direction as it used to be one in three. Here's to one day changing all of that and a cure is found. As always, I will put all the details of my guests on Chat Bagley's Instagram and Facebook pages, and you can get in touch with me via those or email podcast@theshackbagley.co.uk. I do hope you're following or subscribing too, as it's totally free and it helps a lot when I ask guests to join us, so it's much appreciated. Thank you ever so much. So that's it for another week. Thank you for listening and see you next time. Right then, 5 foot 6, who am I as tall as? Ooh, Meryl Streep.